Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming to you from Warren, Ohio. Praise be to God and our glorious Son, Jesus Christ, the one that's going to come back to this planet. Amen. My friend Timothy Jackson won't be with me tonight, but we're going to go ahead with the Word of God. We thank you for listening in on the Word of God. We thank God for giving me this opportunity to spread the gospel as often as I can, as much as I can. Living in these last days, we need to hear from heaven. We need to hear from heaven. And the only way I can hear from heaven is through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Holy Spirit is my mentor. The Holy Spirit is my power. The Holy Spirit is my love of God in my heart through the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God Almighty through Jesus Christ our Lord. Without the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't be able to manipulate. We wouldn't be able to preach the gospel because the Spirit of God is true. The Spirit of God is real. The Spirit of God is everlasting. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, all three are what? One. I know Trinity is not found in the Bible, but the Bible covers it. It says Godhead. The fullness of God is in the Godhead in Jesus Christ. When Christ came, he was God. He is God. He always will be God. And he was manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory, and he's coming back again. He's coming back again to get a church without a spot, without a wrinkle, without anything that is defiled. It will be purified. It will be sanctified. It will be glorified. It will be justified. It will be edified. The church of the living God. And God is what? He's the one spoke through his son, Jesus Christ, in Caesarea Philippi when he told Peter, Peter, whom do you say that I am? Some said you're Jeremiah. Some said you're one of the prophets. Some said you're Elijah. Whom do you say that I am, Peter? And Peter quoted back to him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus quoted to Peter and said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. Flesh and blood did not do that because flesh and blood, amen, has what? No power to be revealed through the Holy Spirit. He said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said, upon this revelation, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is Jesus Christ speaking to Peter, telling the disciples, I am the one. I am the only one. There's nobody else besides me. Before anything was, he said he is. He said he's the Alpha and he's Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And I'm here to tell you this afternoon, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, which means God Almighty in the flesh. Don't forget that. That's the highest doctrine in the Bible. That is the highest doctrine in the Bible. God was manifested in the flesh. When you see Jesus Christ, in the biblical time when Jesus Christ was here on earth, Jesus Christ said, if you see me, you seen the Father. I'm in the Father in me. The works that I do is not I that doeth it, but the Father that liveth in me. So the world got to recognize who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is, I say it again and again, God Almighty. Jesus Christ brought salvation with his own arms, and he was the only one that was able to bring salvation to the world because he is God Almighty. Ooh, That's high. That's the highest doctrine in the Bible. You can't get no higher than that. Because the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And he's coming back again to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And we're living in that time where we're living in that last days just before the coming of the Lord. Before he comes back to the earth. Before he comes back to the earth. Now get this now. Jesus Christ is coming back, but he will not come back to the earth until the tribulation is fulfilled. The 7-year tribulation has to be fulfilled before he can step here on earth. But before the tribulation can start, the rapture must occur. The rapture of the church must occur in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture. There is a pre-tribulation period. The pre-tribulation period cannot start until the body of Christ is removed. The first phase of Jesus' second coming will be the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church means the body of born-again, baptized, born-again believers. You hear what I said now? I said born-again, baptized believers that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior by repenting of their sins and confessing with their mouth and believe with their heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We are celebrating the Passover, amen, this Friday. We're celebrating the burial, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ this weekend. It's not Easter because the resurrection has nothing to do with Easter bunnies and eggs. That's a pagan worship that crept in to Christianity, and people call it Easter. It's not Easter. It's the Passover. It's the burial, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's when Jesus Christ came back from the dead after he died on the cross. He went down into the heart of the earth, and he stayed down there 3 days and 3 nights. And on the third day, he got out the grave and came back to life on his own power. In other words, God Almighty resurrected himself and was bodily resurrected on the first day of the week. That was early Sunday morning. The first day of the week, early Sunday morning, he got up out the grave. And from that point on, he said, I got all power in heaven and earth in his hand. What did he do? He died for our sins. He died so that we could be redeemed by his blood. His blood is our redemption. His blood is our life. His blood paid the penalty for sin. His blood, it was the only thing that can redeem man back to God, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, people get confused on that because, number one, this is God's plan. This is God's plan. This is not no prophets didn't plan this. Amen. God Almighty planned this long before the foundations of the world, because he knew exactly what was going to happen when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, when he put Lucifer in the garden. And the only reason Lucifer was in the garden starting trouble is because he fell from heaven like a bolt of lightning, and he tried to dethrone God. He tried to refute God. He tried to overthrow God. He wanted to be like God. And when he did that, and was unsuccessful, God kicked him out of the heavens. He kicked him out of third heaven, and no longer he have access to third heaven. The only place Satan is lodging now is in first and second heaven, and he is called the prince power of the air. He is called Beelzebub. He is called the wicked one. He is called the one, the Leviathan. He is called the dragon. He is called the serpent. He is called what? The tempter of all mankind. And his job, that God didn't give him the job. He took the job on his own. He tried to rebuke God Almighty, and God dethroned him, and he became Satan, which means adversary. And Satan got a vendetta out for God Almighty, and he wants to destroy his creation. He wants to eliminate mankind. He wants to damn mankind. He wants to take mankind to hell with him, because the hell was prepared for the devil and his angel and not for the human race. God didn't create hell for the human race. Hell was created for Lucifer, the fallen angel, the Nephilim, the wicked ones, the cohorts of the rebellion that went on in heaven. And this rebellion is still going on in our world today, and it's at a point now it's out of control. The world is gone mad. The world is gone mad. The world is gone mad. It's a sick society that we're living in. And the reason why it is sick, now, this is the reason why things are going on. This is why we got wars. This is why we got killing. This is why we got all kind of catastrophes striking this planet. It's because of the rebellion of Satan and the fall of man into Satan's clutches. Satan got man rebelling against God, and man is trying to live without God. And when you try to live without God, you are lost. You are undone. You are wretched. You are trying to live in this world without God, and without God in your life, you can't make it. You can't make it. You can't make it. So what we got, Brother Bazaar? We got a problem. We got a serious problem. We got crime. We got killings. We got wars. We got family domestic violence. We got prostitution. We got homosexuals. We got lesbianism. We got homosexual, we got incest, we got sodomites, we got people killing and murdering and raping, we got wars, we got all kinds of catastrophes going on in the world today. And the reason why, because the devil left heaven, and when he left heaven, he came to earth. When he came to earth, he said, I'm going to destroy mankind. That's what he said he's going to do. But he cannot destroy mankind. Oh, yes. He's got majority of the world today. Majority of the world today is lost without God, without salvation, without the cross. You're lost. You don't know who God is. If you knew who God is, if everybody right now was saved, we wouldn't have all this killing. We wouldn't have all this murder. Why? Because the Spirit of God has power, and it can eliminate sin. How? Through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about this evening. We're going to show you, amen, God's got a plan, amen, an eternal plan to redeem mankind. Not all of mankind. Everybody ain't going to come to the Lord. Everybody don't want the Lord. Everybody ain't going to fall on their knees until the final day, but every knee going to bow and every tongue confess. But people ain't falling on their knees now. They're not calling on the name of the Lord now. They're not worshiping the Lord right now. They ain't got time for the Lord. They got other things important to do. And that's what Satan wants you to do. That's what he wants the world to do, to ignore God. Ignore God. Don't pay no attention to him. Go ahead and have your fun. Go ahead and do what you want to do. Go ahead and go to church. Go ahead and sing in the choir. Do all that. But one thing I don't want you to do, don't ever repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and come to the cross with a broken spirit in repentance and accept Jesus Christ. He don't want you to do that. He don't want you to do that. That's the only thing that can defile Satan. That's the only thing that can get rid of Lucifer. That's the only thing that can have victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave is the blood of Jesus Christ, the one that shed his blood on Calvary's cross. So you want to know what's going to happen to the world? It's going to get worse. 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 Men are going to get worse and worse as we go into 2022, 2023, and 2024 and 2025. It's going to get real bad. And pretty soon, it's going to get so bad, it's going to be almost unfit for a man to live in. Why? Because time is running out. We are living right now in the last millennium that's going to be on planet. The last millennium is the sixth millennium, and we're living in the last part of the sixth millennium. This is the last millennium that man will be able to live. This generation will not pass away until all this be fulfilled. What is yet to be fulfilled? What is yet to be fulfilled that will last 7 years? That is the book of Revelation has yet to be fulfilled. The 22 chapters of Revelation is yet to be fulfilled. I want you to get a hold of this now. There are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. And since there's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, Revelation covers a period of 3,007 years. 3,000, it covers that, 3,007 years. Now you say, well, preacher, how do you get that? How do you measure up with that? How do you count? Well, I'm counting Revelation from the first chapter. I'm counting Revelation. If you got your Bibles, get them Bibles out, man. Let me tell you something. Get them Bibles out. The first three chapters of Revelation. First three chapters of Revelation. I say it again. The first three chapters of Revelation covers the period of 2,000 years. All right? 2,000 years, three chapters of Revelation covers three chapters covered a period of 2,000 years. From the time that Jesus Christ ascended up into heaven on the top of Mount Olive and told the disciples, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, I will come again. And that was after the resurrection. That happened 2,000 years ago. Woo! 2,000 years ago, how do I know I'm at the end of the 2,000 years? In the book of Revelation, the last church age. The last church age was known as Laodicea. Laodicea is the last church age. And now we're living in the last church age, which is Laodicea, because there's six other church ages that has been fulfilled in John's day, fulfilled down across the annals of time, and fulfilling in this present day. So what we got? We got the first church is known as Ephesus. Ephesus. I'm just going to name the churches. I'm not going to try to describe the condition they were in when Jesus spoke to them, because there's only two that God accepted, that Christ accepted. The other five was rebuked because they wasn't doing what God called them to do. Listen, Ephesus was the first church. The second church was Smyrna. The third church was Pergamos. The fourth church was Thyatira. The fifth church was Sardis. The fifth church was Sardis. The sixth church was Philadelphia. The last church, the last of the last church, is Laodicea. And that is called the lukewarm church. That is the church that Jesus Christ said, you need a hot or cold. I will spit you out of my mouth. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but you're lukewarm. And since you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because the way you're living, the way you're carrying my name, the way you claim salvation, you're not doing it. You're lukewarm. And by being lukewarm, that means you're a half-stepper, that you're on this side of the fence or on the other side of the fence, because there's only one way to heaven. You hear what I say? One way to heaven. Jesus Christ says at the church of Laodicea, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Not the church door, but the church door of your heart. He's knocking at your heart. He is wooing you to come in. He is pleading that you come in and repent and turn from your wickedness. And he said, when you don't repent, I will what? Remove the candlesticks from the presence of these churches. And only two churches that was doing exactly what God required them to do. And that was to preach the gospel. Preach the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Preach the resurrection. Preach the suffering. Preach the shed blood. Preach everything that Jesus Christ did. Preach it. Preach it. And let the world know that there's no other way that a man can get to God. In the book of Hebrews, the fourth chapter, says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which was once delivered unto the prophets? Now, Jesus Christ, God spoke through his son, Jesus Christ, to let us know we cannot escape the wrath of the Lamb until we come to Jesus Christ. So, all right, where we at? We in the Revelation. If you go to the book of Revelation, you go to the first three chapters, amen, and you will find out that these three chapters covers the church age. That's from 34 A.D. all the way over to 2022. We're living in that last church age, and that church age is corrupt. But out of that corruption, God got some people that's in the midst of this earth right now. He's got some people that are serving him. He's got people that love him. He got people that are willing to give their life for him. He got people that are willing to praise his name and hold his name and love him and adore him and admire him and serve him. And he's got some people that's claiming, they're claiming they know him, but they don't know him. Because he said, in that last day, many shall come in my name, false prophets and false Christ. And many shall say, Lord, have not we prophesied? Have not we cast out devils? We did a lot of miracle working. Ooh, we did all kinds of working. We prayed. And the Lord said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Jesus Christ said that? Yes, he did. He said, I don't know you. You're workers of iniquity. You're working under the influence of Satan. Satan can camouflage and try to camouflage the righteousness of God. And he can't do it. Because the Bible says, I ain't talking about some comic book. The Bible says, when a man say he loved God, when a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And this goes for every denomination. It goes for every occult. It goes for everybody. If any man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a liar, and God cannot tolerate liars. He cannot come in the presence of liars. And the Bible said, well, who is a liar? Whoever's a liar, a liar is a person that says that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, and Jesus Christ is not God Almighty. If a man said that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, born of a virgin Mary, who baptized by the John Baptist, went up into the wilderness and was tempted 40 days and 40 nights, the one that walked the shores of Galilee, the one that suffered, the one that did miracles, the one that hung on Calvary's cross, the one that bowed his head and died, the one that went down in the grave and stayed down there 3 days and three nights and got up on the third day morning. He said, look here. He said, no man can say that he is a Christian and deny the incarnation of Jesus Christ. No one can say that he's a Christian until he said that Jesus Christ came in the flesh and that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, and he died on Calvary's cross and got up on the third day morning, and now I'm repenting of my sin, and I asked him to come into my life by repenting and believing and receiving. And when he comes in, guess what happened? He changed my life. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything become new. And now I'm a new creature in Jesus Christ. Unless you become a new creature in Jesus Christ, you are lost. You are lost if you don't know the new creature that's in Jesus Christ. And that new creature passed from death to life because we love the brethren. No man can say he's been born again and he hasn't had a changed life. You cannot be changed without the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot be changed unless you want to be changed. But what God is doing, God is getting the church prepared for those that are looking for him. He's preparing his church because the church will soon be gone. Why? Because we're living in the Laodicea age. And the church has come corrupt. Not all. Majority of the church is corrupt, because sin have crept in and people are doing anything they want to now and call themselves Christians, and they have become apostate religion. They have become hypocrites. They have become heretics because they are teaching everything but the word of God. And if you ain't teaching from the word of God, if you ain't living from the word of God, if you ain't proclaiming the word of God, if you ain't shouting for the word of God, if you ain't telling nobody about the word of God and let them know, except you repent, except you turn from your wickedness, you're going to likewise perish. The last days, the church is almost ready to be raptured out of here. And we're living in that last hour because the world cannot go on too much longer. In the book of Revelation, number one chapter, number two chapter, and number three chapter. The third chapter of Revelation closes with the church of Laodicea. I'm going to read what the Bible says. Listen what it says. Laodicea, the 14th verse. The third chapter. And unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witnesses, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold or hot, I will what? I'm going to regurgitate you out of my mouth. In other words, hypocrites pretending that they know Christ, pretending that they're living for the Lord. He said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I'm going to regurgitate you up. Why? Because half and half makes Jesus Christ sick. So he's got to regurgitate you back up, because number one, half-hearted religion, so-called religion, come on now, religion going to put more people in hell than any other thing on the face of this earth. And I tell you why, because Christianity is not a religion. No, it's not. Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ, a new life, a new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of walking, a new way on life. You have a hope in glory. You have a hope one day that you know that you know that you know that you know you've been born again, and you know if you die, your heaven will be your home, not by your works, not by your good looks, not by you attending church every Sunday, not by your automobile, not by the house you live in, not by how well you dress, not how education. No, you cannot attain salvation that way. The only way you can attain salvation, you got to come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the answer to soul salvation, the only one that can save your soul from sin, death and the hell and the grave is Jesus Christ. And here you got lukewarm people in the church half-stepping. You got half here and half there. You got people that say they know Jesus Christ, and they lie, they cheat, they backbite, they whoremonger. They do all the wickedness and call themselves a child of God. Well, if you call yourself a child of God and you participate in these things, most likely you don't know him. You're a hypocrite in your way to hell. And hell is full of hypocrites. Hell is full of sinners. God would rather for you to be real or be false. If you want to be a sinner, go ahead and be a sinner, but don't come in here talking about you a Christian and living like a sinner, talking like a sinner, walking like a sinner, saying what you want to do and do what you want to say. I'm telling you now, it's a lukewarm church age. People have the form of godliness, but they ain't got no power. They ain't got no power to serve the Lord and tell somebody else about this power. They ain't got no power enough to believe that Jesus 2,000 years ago died, yes he did, and dropped his head and gave up the ghost and went down to the bowels of hell and preached to those in prison and came up on the third day and said, I got all power in heaven and earth in my hand. Listen what Laodicea condition they in. He said, so then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I will spit you. I don't know if you know anything about vomiting. Vomiting, when you throw up, you get sick. You're sick on the stomach. You get dehydrated. Food don't taste right. You're lukewarm. That's the way it is when Christ look at a lukewarm so-called Christian. You're playing with God. You're teasing God. You're tempting God. You ain't living right. But the reason why you ain't living right, because you don't know the one that can give you a bath. Hey, give you a good Holy Ghost bath. Wash your soul free from sin by his blood. Without the shedding of blood, don't you know, there ain't no remission of sin. Without Jesus Christ shedding his blood, the whole world will go to hell. Don't you know, without the blood of Jesus Christ, no man could be sanctified. No man could be glorified. No man could become in the image like God in holiness. Don't you know you can't live holy without the blood of Jesus Christ? Because some people trying to live holy and don't even know nothing about the sanctification of the blood of Christ. If you have not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, your soul is damned for hell. And that's the only thing that will not burn in hell is the blood of Christ. Well, don't you understand what I'm talking about? Because Buddhism, Shintoism, Taoism, I'm talking about Baptist, Presbyterian, I'm talking about Catholic. If you haven't been born again, hell will be your home, because it's not denomination that's going to get you to heaven. It's not the shaking the preacher's hand. It's not giving your tithes and offering. It's not by works that man can be saved, but by the grace of God through faith, not we ourselves, lest any man should boast. Good God Almighty. Listen, because thou sayest, I am rich. This is what the modern day mega churches is saying. We want money. We want this. Oh, I'm prosperity. I'm getting rich, and I got a whole lot of money. That's what men, he said. This is what the churches are saying now. I am rich. I'm increased with goods. You got all kinds of goods and have need of nothing. You said, I don't need nothing. I got everything that I need. But let me tell you, and knowest not that thou art what? Listen. Thou art wretched. You are wretched. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're wretched. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're miserable. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're poor. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're blind. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're naked. Your soul is bare naked. God can see your sin. God can see your all the wickedness you have done, and it hasn't been forgiven. And the only way you can be forgiven is that you repent and turn to Jesus Christ and let him wash you in his blood through faith of the cross, because the cross is the only way. I'm telling you. Oprah Winfrey said there's many ways. T.D. Jakes, there's many ways to go to heaven. That's a lying wonder. I don't care what a preacher says. If he says that, he ain't no preacher. He's a lying prophet. Because let me tell you, Jesus Christ said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl can get to the Father unless he come by Jesus Christ. Not Kenneth Copeland, not no preacher. I don't care who he is. I don't, if he's preaching the truth, good. But you can't get to heaven until you come to Jesus Christ. And if you try to get to heaven on another avenue, Jesus said you worship in a thief and a robber. You're a midnight robber. You're trying to rob salvation. You kind of cheat and go around the cross to get to heaven. But you got to go through the cross. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And that's a promise. That's a must. You've got to be. Because sin, no unregenerated soul without the blood of Jesus Christ will never enter the kingdom of God. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And where do the soul lie? The soul is in the blood. And Jesus Christ died. He shed his blood and opened a fountain filled with blood that flows from Emmanuel's vein. If the sinner fall beneath the flow, he'll lose all what? His guilty stain. You got to be washed. You got to be sanctified. You got to have the love of God in your heart before you get to heaven, honey. Yeah, yeah. You ain't going to like nobody and go to heaven. You got to love people. You got to love the unlovely. And you got to love the lovely. You got to love those that persecute you, say all manner of evil against you. Woo! You got to love them, honey. Oh, yes, you do. Because if Christ loved you with your ugly self, my ugly self, you used to be ugly. Amen. I used to be ugly, mean and cruel, selfish, self-righteous. Thought I could get to heaven on, that story. I didn't believe it. Get to heaven on my dad's coattail or on my mama's coattail. You ain't going to heaven on nobody's coattail. I don't care who they are. It was Jesus Christ that made a way for you to come to him, and the world is saying, the heck with it. The heck with it. That's what the last day church is saying now. I'll just go to church. I'll just shake the preacher's hand. I'll just fix up my clothes and wear new clothes. I'll get something new and go, oh, I'll sing in the choir. I'll be the doorkeeper. I'll be the janitor. I'll be the program director. I'll be the choir director. All that is all right. But if you're doing it without Jesus Christ in your life, it ain't no good. It won't work. Only what you do for Christ will stand. And the only way it will stand, the Bible said, if you have not the spirit of the living God, if you have not the spirit of Christ in you, you don't even belong to God, because you've got to be sealed with the spirit until the day of redemption. You've got to have the Holy Spirit. This is what it said. I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see it. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. This last day church, there's some people in the last day church are saved. And hear what he's saying here. As many as I love, and whom I loveth, I chasten it. He said, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous. In other words, if you're doing something wrong, you're a child of God, God is going to rebuke you. The reason he's rebuking, because you're his son, and whom he loveth, he will chasten it. And there's a lot of Christians today are being chastised because they're not obedient. They're not doing what God told them to do. And the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness without. For without, no man shall see the Lord. God wants you to walk in holiness. He wants you to walk in love. He wants you to walk in joy. He wants you to walk in forgiveness. He wants you to walk in long-suffering. He wants you to walk in peace. He wants you to be an example of the life of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit, so the world can see the power that God has to change your life and make you exactly what God wants you to be. Listen here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, open up the door. What? You mean the church door? No, the door of your heart. The church building is not the church. You are the church. He said, upon this rock, I will build my church. What he's going to build it out of? No, not concrete, not cement, not wood, not glass. He's going to build it out of his blood. And so now, by billing out of his blood, he wants to come into your life and change you, and you become a part of the church, the body of Christ. That's what the church is, the body of Christ, sanctified ones, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and getting ready to go to heaven. Because at the moment of the twinkling of an eye, when Jesus Christ descends from heaven with the what? A shout. And that's soon to happen. Any day now, any hour now, any month now. But God is a timely God. Now get me right. God is a timely God. God don't do nothing out of order. Amen. Four. Listen, there are 7 feast days of the Lord. Let me get that to you. There's 7 feast days of the Lord called appointed times. Appointed time means God has appointed a time for the Passover. He has appointed a time for the unleavened bread. He's appointed a time for the first fruit, the resurrection. He appointed a time for Pentecost, the birth of the church. He has appointed a time for the feast of the trumpet, which is the rapture. He has appointed a time for Yom Kippur, which is his second coming. He has appointed a time for the Feast of Tabernacles. I hope you can get a grip of that, because that's found in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter, appointed times. And every year, God got an appointed time. And as we come up on Easter this year, it's an appointed time, which is the Passover, the crucifixion. Unleavened bread is the sanctified walk, the unleavened bread. Unleavened bread means Jesus Christ's body was unleavened. What's unleavened? Unleavened means there ain't no yeast in the bread. In other words, unleavened bread represents the body of Christ, because Jesus Christ knew no sin, didn't do no sin, never could do no sin, but because he became a sin offering, he took our sin. And that's the unleavened bread, appointed times. First fruit was 3 days he stayed in the heart of the earth, and on the 3rd day he got up, which first fruit means the resurrection. Appointed times, own time. Appointed times, own times. 40 days later, he said, I'm going away. Go back down to Jerusalem. I'm going to send you some power from on high. Appointed times. Pentecost. Pentecost means the 50th day of Jubilee. That's what's the conception of the church, the body of Christ. And from the conception of the day of Pentecost until now, the church has been on the earth for 2,000 years. And now the church is almost ready to leave. And God only knows the day and the hour. But the Bible didn't say nothing about the year and the month. The year and the month. The year and the month was not quoted in the Bible. But he said, now I will not tell no man the day or the hour that I'm going to what? I'm going to rapture the church. And the rapture of the church is the next appointed time, which represents the Feast of Trumpet, which is Rosh Hashanah. And it's coming up this September. Rosh Hashanah is coming up, appointed times. Appointed times. After the appointed times is called Yom Kippur, which represents the return of Jesus Christ on the earth. Appointed Feast of Tabernacle, which represents the appointed time for the millennium to start after, listen to me, after the tribulation period. The tribulation period will come into existence through the Jewish people, because the 7-year tribulation is especially for the Jews, because God said, I'm going to deal with the Jews for 490 years. God said, I'm going to deal with the Jew. I'm going to deal with the Jew. I'm going to bring the Jews back into the land. And now the Jews are back into the land. But it took 2,600 years for them to receive back into the land. And that was fulfilled in May the 14th, 1948. And since 1948 until this present day, they tell me Israel has been a nation for almost 70 years. But the generation will not pass away until the whole complete Israel is restored. And when it is going to be restored, Brother Bazaar, it's going to be restored in the time of the tribulation period. Oh, I hope you can get a grip of this. I hope you can get a grip of this. Because the 7 appointed times, 4 of them have been fulfilled. Passover, unleavened bread, first fruit, Pentecost has been fulfilled right on time. And there's a gap between Pentecost and the Feast of the Trumpet. And that gap covers the period of 2,000 years. The 2,000 years is up. We're living in the last millennium. Seven more years, and this millennium will close. 2029 will fulfill 80 years, one generation. Jesus Christ said this generation shall not pass away until what? It be fulfilled. So what we got, we're right on the razor edge. We only got 7 years before 2029. When 2029 comes, that will represent Yom Kippur, on time. Feast of the Trumpet before Yom Kippur is the rapture of the church, the body of Jesus Christ. That is fulfilled in the book of Revelation in the first three chapters. Because let me tell you something. Three chapters cover the period of, what, 2,000 years. That's the first three chapters of Revelation. Now, you got to put that in your place now. That's the first three chapters, the church age. You got Ephesus. Ephesus is the backslidden church. Smyrna is a suffering church. Pergamos is the compromised church. Thyatira is when the church married the world. Sardis is the Protestant church when the church protested against Roman Catholicism. And then you got the church Philadelphia, which is the evangelist church. That's when the church goes outside of the four walls of the church building and preach the gospel over radio, over every modern technology that we have today. The gospel is being preached around the world. That's the evangelist church. The next church is Laodicea. That's the lukewarm, hypocritical, humanist church where people are in this church. They do anything they want. Anything they want, and then go to confession and say to the priest and to the father, saying, forgive me, and go right back out and do it again. They have no change of life. They believe working and doing good things can get you to heaven, but that's a lie and wonder. That's why Martin Luther nailed 95 theses on Wittenberg's door and protest against Roman Catholicism, because they believe working your way to heaven is available for God to be pleased with you. But I don't care how long you work. I don't care how long you pray. I don't care how long if you're working on your own and thinking you're going to get to heaven on your work, you're going to end up in hell, because you are saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. Woo! So what we got, preacher? We got the third chapter of Revelation. Revelation. The third chapter of Revelation closes with Laodicea. And that church will go in to the tribulation period and become the great whore. The great whore. What is the great whore? The great whore is the 17th chapter of Revelation. That's the great whore, because the people become so filthy and so low down and dirty, they'll do anything. And all religions will come into one umbrella under this one world church. This one world church ends up riding a beast in the 17th chapter with a cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of the earth. Sin is filthy. Sin stinks. Sin is like maggots. Eat you up. Damn your soul. Fornication is like a maggot. Alcoholism, prostitution, lying, cheating, backbiting is like a maggot. It'll eat you up and make you become filthy. And the world is filled with filthiness. The world lies in wickedness. The world drank sin like man drinking water. People are drinking up all kinds of filthy stuff. And this woman got a cup in her hand, which is the false church a world church, one world government, one world political system, one world religious system unites together. And this here woman looks good on the outside. Ooh, she's a beautiful thing. She got all the features of a woman and it desired to be messed with. And that's what people are messing with today because sin looks good. Sin is pleasure. And people like pleasure today. They like love pleasure. And this here woman will give you all the pleasures in the world. She's a prostitute. She's prostituting false doctrine. She's prostituting all kinds of sins and worship and idolatry. She's prostituting drugs. She's prostituting homosexuality. She's prostituting lesbianism. She's prostituting every low-down, dirty thing that God hates. And he hates sin. And sin will never come in his presence. And the only thing that can clean your sin problem up is the blood of Christ. Christ can cleanse your soul and set you free from sin. Three chapters. All right, you got that now. You got the three chapters that covers, this year covers what? 2,000 years. It covers 2,000 years. Those seven churches covers a period of 2,000 years. There's all kinds of demons and witchcraft in a lot of churches called the Church of Satan, Kabbalahs. We got Illuminatis. We got all kinds of demons and devils that's worshiping idolatry. And they deny the blood of Jesus Christ. They deny the crucifixion. They deny the resurrection. And that's what people are doing today. Just because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, a lot of people don't take it serious. They don't take it serious. No, they go Easter bunny humping and all that crap. But they ain't got nothing to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just like Christmas, they ain't got nothing to do with Santa Claus. And the devil now has twisted men's mind to try to mix the blood of Christ with abominable sin. No, it won't happen. The blood of Jesus Christ will eliminate sin. It will cleanse you, the blood of Christ. Third chapter of what? Revelation. That's where we at. That last verse says, he that hath ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Okay. That's what it said. Him that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The churches are supposed to be telling the world how to live. But the world has intervened and came into the church and turned the church upside down. Some churches done turned the church upside down. They got everything going in there now. In some churches, they got legal prostitution undercover. They got preachers behind the pulpit, punking boys in the back room. They got women in there that's selling the bodies in churches. In churches, my friend, wicked. And people think God is going to accept that and think Christ is going to overlook that. And he already done died to save you from that. He's not going to overlook it because there's a judgment day coming. And when you stand before God Almighty, and your soul is not washed in the blood of the Lamb, your soul is damned. So John the Revelator writes the first three chapters on the church age. Church age covers, like I said, 2,000 years. Every 2,000 years, something happened from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years. From Abraham to the birth of Jesus Christ, 2,000 years. From the birth of Jesus Christ until the end time, 2,000 years. Every time 2,000 years come to an end, something happened. And that was from Adam to Abraham, the father of many nations, the nation that brought Christ into the world. And from Abraham to the birth of Christ. Jesus Christ came down here 2,000 years later, died on Calvary cross, went back to heaven. He'd been gone for 2,000 years. 2,000 years is up. We're coming down to the last 7 years. 7 to 8 years before Christ comes back to the earth. So in between the seven and the 7 years, there has to be a tribulation period. This tribulation period is ready to be manifested because we're living in that last day. After the third chapter of Revelation, we don't cover the church ages now. After the third chapter, we look at the fourth chapter. Now, look at what it says. Very careful. He said, after this, I looked. John said, I looked. And he said, behold, a door was opened in heaven. A portal was opened in heaven. And when this portal is open, the first voice which I heard was of a trumpet talking with me. Now, when John heard this, it sounded like a trumpet. And when it sounded like a trumpet, the trumpet said, talking with me, which said, come, listen what it said now, listen, come up hither. What are you talking about, John? I'm talking about come up hither. Well, John, don't you know where you're going? Yes, I will show you these things which must be hereafter. This verse, this first verse in the fourth chapter of Revelation, the very first verse says, come up hither. A trumpet is blown. After the trumpet is blown, John said, I was caught up into heaven. And after he was caught up into heaven, he said, I will show you these things which must be hereafter. After what? What's going to be after the rapture of the church? John was shown what would happen after the rapture of the church. But at the same time, I'm going to show you what happened after the rapture of the church. Where did John go when he was caught up? Listen what it says. He said, immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one that sat on the throne. Where did John go? Where's the church going when it's raptured up? Well, we are going to be caught up in the middle of the air, and we are headed for the throne of judgment, which is called the judgment of the Bema Seat, where all the born-again believers, baptized believers, converted believers, redeemed believers, sanctified believers, woo, all those from around the world, from every continent, every hamlet, every ghetto system, every city, every town, all those that know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior will immediately be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and we are headed for the judgment seat of Christ. When we get there at the judgment seat of Christ, this is what we're going to see. Now, this is real now. This ain't no toy. This ain't no funny book. This ain't no cookbook. This ain't no book that you just read anytime you want to. It says, look here. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne, and the sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne was 24 seats. And up on the seats I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crown of gold. This is the judgment seat of Christ, where you see 24 elders, the 12 tribe of Israel and the 12 elders, the 12 disciples. And they were clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightning and thundering and voices, and there were seven lamps, fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne was a sea of glass. Now, this is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where I'm headed. I'm on my way. And the only way I can be on my way, I have to be born again. Do you hear what I said? Got to be born. Got to be sanctified. I got to be washed in the blood of Christ. If I'm not washed in the blood of Christ, which I know I am without a shadow of a doubt, nobody can change it. I know I've been born again. I know I've been serving the Lord. I know I've been preaching for 57 years, which don't make no difference. If I ain't saved, I'm not going. But I've been born again. I'll be there. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass into crystals in the midst of the throne, and round about the throne, four beast full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast was the face of a man. The fourth beast was a flying eagle. And the fourth beast had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes, and they rest neither day nor night. And what were they saying? They were saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and which is and which is to come. This is coming. This is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where the church is going to be judged at. We're going to be judged for our works. Salvation's already been taken care of at Calvary's cross. I was judged at the cross, and by me repenting, God judged me. And why did he judge me? He judged me by his blood, by me repenting of my sin and me accepting Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I don't have and will not come under condemnation. If I be judged, it's going to be judged by my works. What did I do when I was here on earth? How did I serve the Lord? How did I worship the Lord? How did I witness for the Lord? How did I pay my tithe? Everything that I've done while I was here on earth for Christ is going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to be judged for my works, whether it be good or evil. And if I do good in the name of the Lord and through his Holy Spirit, I will get gold, silver, and brass. But if I do it in the flesh, I won't get nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. I'll lose my reward, but as yet my soul will be saved, not by works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells me, they're saying, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, day and night. And they'll be doing it while we in judgment. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and ever, and cast their crown before the throne. Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, this 1, 2, 3, and 4th chapter of Revelation, the first three chapters, church age. Now the church is removed from earth to heaven at the judgment seat of Christ, and that chapter describes the throne of judgment of the saints of God. That's what the throne looks like. It's got four beasts, and they're saying, holy, holy. It's bright, lightning, thunders, and thunder and lightning and thunder. Oh, man, it's miraculous. All this is going to go on in the heavens. And at this time, the church is not on the earth. That fourth chapter, the church is not on the earth. It was raptured. Every born-again believer was raptured. From the continents of Africa, South America, Argentina, Cuba. Ooh, my God, my God. From the North Pole to the South Pole, United States, England, woo, Russia, China, Bangladesh, India, Israel, every continent, every island. There's somebody knows Jesus Christ on every continent, and Jesus Christ is going to rapture all the nations of the world that have received him and gave him the glory and accept this wonderful Savior that died for us and the whole world. So they will be there at this judgment seat of Christ. That's the fourth chapter. So when you read that fourth chapter, you're reading what it's going to be like when we go to the judgment seat of Christ. That's what it's going to look like. Oh, my God, all them angels. The first beast like a lion, second beast like a calf, fourth beast a flying eagle. The third one's face of a man. Can you imagine what that's going to look like? My God, and all the church, the whole church are going to bow down bow down and pay homage to God Almighty. No wicked, no unregenerated person will be there. No, nothing defiled. Nothing defiled. No sin at all. This is the holy, 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 holy. So if you ain't holy tonight, if you don't know Jesus Christ tonight, you need to know him. You need to repent of your sin. Because listen here, if you are left here, you are going to see the opening of the seven-year tribulation. That's the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter, we're in heaven now. This is what we see in the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book, to loose the seals thereof? And no man, you hear what I said? No man, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereupon. This is in heaven. This is in heaven. And by this being in heaven, Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne, and the angel proclaimed, he seen a book that was written within and without on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book? What book? The book that will reveal revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Jesus Christ will be revealed from the fifth chapter all the way over to the 19th chapter. We'll try to get to the 19th chapter, but we won't read. We'll just go over there. But that fifth chapter of Revelation says, we've got to find somebody to open the book, somebody to look upon the book. And they searched the world over. They searched the world in the earth, on top side of the earth, on the back side of the earth, to find a man who will able to break the seven seals and open the book. Who will open the book? Somebody got to open the book. All the princes and the kings and the judges of the earth, nobody, Abraham, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, all the patriarchs could not open the book. Job couldn't open the book. Solomon couldn't open the book. All the writers and the prophets of the Bible could not open the book. They couldn't look upon the book. Why? Because the book is going to reveal the judgment upon the earth. The judgment of God is coming upon this earth. Listen to what it says. Third verse says, and no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Nobody. 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 No demon, no devil, no nobody. Come on, look at what this book is saying. Look what God is saying. And John couldn't find nobody. And he had all eternity to try to find somebody, and guess what? He still wouldn't have found nobody. And then John said, I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Nobody was able to look at the book. Woo! And one of the elders said unto him, weep not. Quit crying. Dry your tears up. Behold, the lion out of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. Well, who is this guy? Who is this root of David? Who is this lion out of the tribe of Judah? Who is he? Come on now, you know who he is. Listen what it says. And I beheld lo, in the midst of the throne, and one of the four beasts, the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it was slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of his own, out of his right hand of him that sit on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb. Woo! The Lamb, who? The Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof, and thou wast slain and hast redeemed. Listen here. Listen what it said. Thou hast redeemed us to God by what? The blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation. And the world today is going under racial discrimination and fighting against other white against black, black against white, Chinese against all kinds of prejudice. And it's going on the earth today. But we look at this and it says, thou was slain and has redeemed us to God. Thank God. By what? The blood of out of every kindred and tongue and nations and people. So when you get to heaven, ain't going to be no more racial discrimination. Why? Because we have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, because he was worthy to open the book. It was by the blood that men can be saved. And the only way you can blot out racial discrimination and killing and murdering and hanging and all this shit, name calling and calling each other names and all out of the place, let me tell you, the only way you can be redeemed from that is through the blood of Jesus Christ, because the Bible said all of every kindred and nation shall be at the judgment seat of Christ, and there we will be singing and rejoicing, and we won't be looking at each other what color it is, because we have been redeemed by what? The blood of Jesus Christ, and has made us into our God kings and priests. And listen, and we shall reign on the earth. We're going to reign on this earth. Well, where do the reigning come from? The reigning comes from the reign comes from the seven, the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth will come at the end of the sixth millennium. The sixth millennium ends, then we go into the seventh millennium, and the seventh millennium represents the millennium reign of Jesus Christ, and we will rule on the earth with kings and priests. Woo! We will be God's son, we will be God's daughter, and we will rule and reign with Jesus Christ, and he's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, thousands of thousands, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heavens and on the earth and under the earth, which are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessed and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth up on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. We're in heaven and we see the seal are begin to be opened. As the seals are being, Jesus Christ, don't come telling me somebody else did it. Allah didn't do it. Joseph Smith didn't do it. No false prophet didn't do it. Even a true prophet couldn't do it. Only Jesus Christ. That's why the Bible said, lift up the name of Jesus, because his name is higher than any name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee you're going to bow. Don't bow down to nobody but Jesus Christ. Not to your husband, not to your children, not to your bank account, not to your car, not to your wife, not to your girlfriend. Don't bow down and have God first in your life. Not second, not third, first in your life. And you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the fifth chapter of Revelation. And the fourth beast said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worship him that liveth forever and ever. So you got 1, 2, 4, 5. You got 5 chapters that covers 2,000 years of church age at the judgment seat of Christ, the fourth chapter, the fifth chapter, the book where 7 seals will be opened. When the 7 seals are opened, they won't be opened until Jesus Christ breaks the seal. When he breaks the first seal, the first seal is broken in the sixth chapter of Revelation. The sixth chapter of Revelation. The sixth chapter of Revelation says, opening of the seventh seal. And I saw the Lamb, Jesus Christ, open one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Come and see what? What's getting ready to happen on earth? Now, we was on earth in the first 1, 2, and 3, the church was on earth. Chapter 4, church is in heaven. Chapter 5, the church is still in heaven, getting ready for the seventh seal to be opened. They found somebody to open the seventh seal, a lion out of the tribe of Judah, root of David, offspring, the tribe stone, the counselor, the prince of peace, the God of God, the King of Kings, opened his first seal in the sixth chapter. When he opened the first seal, we see what's going on earth, because we're in the seven churches is in on the earth. The fourth chapter, church is in heaven. Fifth chapter, church is getting ready to see the seventh seal broken. The seven seals are broken. The first one is broken. And I saw, behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth to conquering and to conquer. What is a white horse? Well, I'm going to break it down for you. Guarantee you, absolutely right. The first horse represents the Antichrist coming on the earth. The Antichrist coming up on the earth. I saw a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, a diplomacy. He's coming on a diplomacy platform. And a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering the conquer. This Antichrist is a man on the earth now. He's alive. He's about 53 years old. And he's waiting for one specific event that's going to happen pretty soon. And that event is the rapture of the church. When the rapture of the church occurs, this Antichrist will come on the scene. Now, don't go looking up in the air thinking you're going to see a white horse riding down from the cloud. No, he's on earth already. But he's coming in a symbolic form, riding on a horse, because a horse shows victory. This white horse will represent the Antichrist coming on a white horse, symbolically coming on. He may come, but he's not coming on a white horse. He may come in a white limousine. He may get out of the car with a white outfit on. He may look like, ooh, look at him. And he has it. Look at all that white he got on. Because when you see somebody with a white suit on, oh, man, ain't nothing wrong with him. He's spotless. But underneath that is a dragon. Underneath that is a beast. And we will see that find out. He says, and a bow was given. He had power and diplomacy, but he had no arrows. So he's not coming on a, he's coming on a peace platform. He's going to bring peace to the Jewish people to give them permission to build a temple. And the Jews are going to believe that this false prophet, this false Antichrist, is Jesus Christ. They're going to believe that he is Jesus Christ because he's going to give the Jewish nation permit to build a temple and to offer sacrifices of animals on it and try to bring back Judaism into the system. But Judaism is done. There's no more Judaism. Judaism was law. But when Christ came, he said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill. So Christ fulfilled the law. And that fulfillment of the law was grace. When Christ died, he eliminated bulls and turtle doves and goats. He eliminated all that worshiping, blood curdling, cutting up animals and putting them on the altar. He eliminated that. Jesus Christ died once for all, forever, once and for all. He will not die no more. He will not suffer no more. He will not be crucified no more. He died and eliminated Judaism, so now men don't have to go down to the altar and get an animal and cut it open and sprinkle the blood over themselves for the remission of their sin, because Jesus Christ did it once and for all. And now we go boldly to the throne of grace and fall down at the foot of the cross and repent of our sin and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ died and rose again by the power of God. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D. So this Antichrist comes, and he tells the Jews, yes, build your temple. I give you permission. I'm going to sign a peace treaty with you. I'm going to sign it, and I give you permission. And the Jews are going to build the temple. Yes, they are. They're in preparation now to build the temple. They got all the Semitic views and all the utensils. They got the menorah. They got the two red heifers. They got everything in line. And when the rapture of the church come and the Antichrist come, he will set up a covenant and sign it and give the Jews a promise that he will protect them for 7 years. That's the Antichrist. He's here. I can tell you where he's coming from. He's coming from Western Europe. He's coming from NATO. He's coming from the New World Order. He's coming from the fallen empires over there in Western and Eastern Europe. Daniel saw him 2,600 years ago. Daniel said in the last days, the European Europe will rejoin and try to revive the Roman Empire. To make a long story short, the 10 European nations are now in existence. And Daniel said, I saw 10 toes. When I saw these 10 toes, I recognized something's going to happen in the future. I recognized that way down in the latter days, the revived Roman Empire will come back. And when he saw the 10 toes, he thought it was done. But he said, wait a minute. I see another little horn. And this horn had a mouth and eyes and spoke great things against the Most High. That is the Antichrist coming up out of Western Europe. And Western Europe is composed of 10 European common market nations and the 11th nation that came in, because he said, I saw another little horn, and that makes 11 horns. And the 11th horn, that horn that comes up the 11th time, that is where the Antichrist coming in. And when the Antichrist came, he came in 1986. The country of Spain entered into the European common market. And out of Spain came a man called Juan Carlos. And Juan Carlos had a son. And he was born in 1968. And when he was born in 1968, Juan Carlos was king at that time. And from 1975 to 2014, Juan Carlos was the king of Spain. And he was getting old. He had did some corruption in there. And so they had to get rid of him. And he gave the throne to his son. And when he gave it to his son, he said, now you can take control of Spain and the European common market. And his name is King Felipe. And he's in Spain right now. And he's waiting for the Pacific time. And when the church will be raptured up, he's going to come riding on a white horse. And like I said, he may come riding in a white limousine and get out of the car with a white uniform on and go to Jerusalem and sit in the judgment hall and tell the people that he is Jesus Christ to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people will say, hallelujah, we can build our temple.
This is what's coming.
This is what's coming, because the world now is looking for a world leader. We don't have 45 presidents. We don't have kings and priests. We don't have all kinds of dignitaries and men and power to make the world a better place. We don't have Hitler. We don't have Mussolini. We don't have Napoleon. We don't have all these kings, all these princes, and they still haven't got the world straightened out. And here comes the Antichrist in the last days. And he's coming after the rapture of the church, because the world will be looking for a world leader. And now we're in the position now for the world to accept anybody that look like and has the power to say words that he would bring peace. So when you read your Bible, you look at the sixth chapter, you see that white horse, that's the Antichrist. That's what that is. And that only happens after the rapture of the church. But the Antichrist is here today. He's alive. He's alive. He's married. He's got two daughters. And he's the king of Spain. And the world is saying, where is he? I've been trying to find him. I don't know. Nobody know who he is. But Daniel told me, the word of God told me exactly what country he's coming from. And that country is Spain, because that was the 11th horn that came up in 1986 and became the head of the 10 other nations. And now NATO is having a conflict with Russia. NATO, the world new order. The white horse is getting ready to ride, but it won't ride until the church is excommunicated and we be in heaven. We're going to see Jesus Christ open the seals. We're going to see exactly what's going to go on here on earth. Hallelujah! Praise God! The time has come. And after what? After the Antichrist comes. Immediately after the Antichrist comes, John said in the fourth verse, he said, there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him to set thereupon, to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. A red horse, represent bloodshed. Where's the red horse coming from? The red horse is coming from Russia. The second horse in Revelation is Russia. Gog and Magog is getting ready to take peace from the earth. They already took Ukraine, killing people, bombing people, children, men, women, killing civilians, taking their lives, removing them, driving them out the land. The red horse is getting ready to ride. He ain't riding full blast. He's just trotting now. But only time he'll have a full ride is when the church is in heaven and Jesus Christ opened the second seal. When he opened the second seal, he said, I saw a red horse. And the red horses represent in the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel, Gog and Magog, Meshach and Tubal. He's going to come from the northern quarters of the earth and swoop down upon the mountain of Israel. Right now, it's Gog and Magog planning to rebound and reunite their armies. It's going to take 4 to 6 months
for them to get a full army, but Russia has a problem now. The economical system is going down. It's collapsing. But they still are going to get nations to go ally with them. If you can read that, you can read that in the 8th chapter. You can read that in the 38th chapter and the 39th chapter of Ezekiel. That's the red horse. That's the red horse in the book of Revelation. Gog and Magog. Because Gog and Magog is going to end up bringing in World War III. World War III. Russia and five other nations are getting ready to come from the north. They already done almost wiped out Ukraine. And they're going to be some more bloodshed coming up in the next 3 or 4 months, more bloodshed. Gog and Magog is going to have federation with five other nations. And they're going to come down and get Ukraine. And from Ukraine, Russia got another plan. Listen to what I'm saying now. 38, 39th chapter. They got another plan. They got a plan. Since their economy is going down the tube, they're running out of food. They're running out of oil. They're running out of gas. They're running out of vegetables and food to feed people in Russia. And Putin knows it. He know he can't stop now. He got to keep on doing what he's doing. The only thing we can pray for, really, amen, is pray for the souls of men. Pray for America. Pray for the world, that people will accept Jesus Christ, because that's the only way you can escape what's getting ready to come. And you notice that red horse is going to get so bad that the own men are going to kill each other from confusion. But if you read the 38 and 39th chapter of Ezekiel, you will read exactly what's going to go through. I can't go through it right now. It's too long. But if you read it yourself, you can see what's going to go on. It's going to get real bad pretty soon, real bad during the tribulation period. But God is going to remove the body of Christ before this happens. The church will not be here during this invasion. Now, here's what's getting ready to happen. Russia is going to get down there through the Caspian Mountains and come down through Syria and Jordan and Tel Aviv and the mountain of Israel. What they're planning to do, they're planning to make an invasion on Jerusalem. They want to conquer the Middle East. And Putin is going to get an evil thought in his mind to go down and take all the gas, all the food, all the cattle, and take control of Jerusalem and be the conqueror of the Middle East. That's what he's doing. That's what he's getting ready to do. That's, you don't have to worry about the news. The news ain't going to tell you all the truth. But this is what's getting ready to happen, as it spoke in the 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel. A great invasion, and no nation on the planet will be able to stop Russia. In fact, China agrees with what Russia is getting ready to do, and the five nations confederation agree. So other nations is going to link up with Russia, and they're going to come down like a mighty cloud out of the north, down through Syria and Damascus and Tel Aviv. And along the Jordan Valley, they're going to come down up on the holy mountain of Israel. And this is what Ezekiel said, what God is going to do. God said, I'm going to sanctify myself, and I'm going to shake the earth so bad. I'm going to shake it so bad that every human being on the planet is going to feel the shaking of God's power. He's going to shake it that the fishes in the sea is going to feel it. The animals going to feel it. Every human being on the planet, they're going to feel it. And he said, I'm going to let you know that I am the Lord God And beside me, there's nobody else. And I'm going to sanctify myself because the world has tried to defile God Almighty, rejected his son, cursed him, lied on him. They done did everything against God to deny him and bring him out of, take him out of existence. And God said, I'm going to prove myself to Israel, and I'm going to prove myself to the Gentile nations. My friends, that's what's getting ready to happen. That's what's getting ready to happen. Are you saved? Are you saved from your sins? Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? And that's the first two horses that's getting ready to ride only until after the rapture of the church. And John looked again, and this is what he saw. He said, and I opened the third seal, and I heard a third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. The black horse represents famine. Famine, F-A-M-I-N-E, famine, food shortage. There's going to be a shortage of food during the tribulation period. It's going to be so short that a man would have to work a whole day. A loaf of bread will cost you about $80 a whole day. And already in the news, food prices going up. It's going to go up and go up and go up. And it's really going to go up when Russia makes that attack during the tribulation period up on Israel. Food is going to get so high that a man would have to work all day long just to buy one loaf of bread. Gas prices going up. Vegetables are going up. Meat going up. It's going up now. Eggs are $2.69. One used to be 99 cents a dozen, but gas is $4.60. Some is $7. It's going up, 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 up. And when the rapture occurs, it's going to be a cataclysm. It's going to be so confusing. People are going to be hollering and screaming, pulling hair out their head. They're going to be crying and weeping. Why? Because they missed the rapture. When you miss the rapture, you got to face the Antichrist. You got to face the war, Gog and Magog war, and you got to face food shortage. Because whenever a war breaks out, there's going to be a food shortage because nobody is planting in the land. Nobody is growing anything. The seasons will be confusing. The weather will change. It will be a catastrophic event at the rapture. It's going to cool down just a little bit. And people are going to try to get settled down, but it ain't going to last long. Because right after that war, after God destroyed 83% of Russian army, and it's going to take Israel seven months to bury the dead, it's going to take Israel 7 years to burn the fuel, burn their weaponry. And I'll get into that later. You say, what? How can you burn iron? Well, there's a process that you can take wood and process it and put 3,000 pound pressure of steam on it and turn it to so hard that it be harder than steel and stronger than steel. But you can put a match to it and it'll burn. But Russia has another plan to attack Israel, and God is going to destroy 83% of the army. And it's going to be worldwide. And the kings of the east and the kings of the north and the kings of the south is going to see what's going on. And it's going to be a war all the way over through the tribulation period until the end of the tribulation period. There's going to be a great war. The wars are wars. And that war will be when Christ comes from heaven and meet the armies of the world at the Battle of Armageddon. And Armageddon is where Christ meets rebellious man at the Valley of Megiddo. And Megiddo is a battleground for just about 40 armies. 40 wars have been fought on that ground. That's where Goliath got killed. Ooh, that's where David killed Goliath. Anytime you want a confrontation, go to the Valley of Megiddo. And Christ is going to come back and meet the armies of the world, because the Bible said all the armies of the world will fight against Jerusalem, and God is going to defend the holy city, because that's the city he's going to reign from during the millennium reign. Look a here, the black horse is getting ready to ride, and only the rich will be able to go through survive. But the tribulation period is going to be hell on earth. It says, hurt not the oil or the wine. In other words, rich folks won't bother them too much. But those that don't have nothing are going to have to strive and steal food and fight in the cities. The cities going to come corrupt. People are going to be laying in the streets. Oh, it's going to be hell. Why? Because man said, I don't need God, don't want God, I'm going to do it my way, and God's way is the only way, and when man does it his way, he's doomed. He's doomed. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're doomed. If you reject the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you and for me, you're doomed. If you die tonight without Christ, you're doomed. Why go to hell for nothing? You ain't going to miss nothing if you accept Jesus Christ. You're going to miss hell. And that, ooh. And if you don't miss hell, you wish you would have. But the world is at its last leg. We're almost there. The rapture is right around the corner. The war. Gog and Magog is maybe 4 or 5 months away. Because Putin is not going to stop. He's going to get what God has already written 2,600 years ago. Ezekiel wrote it. And God is on time. God wrote the Bible through holy men as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Not by a ghost, but by the Holy Ghost, God speaking. Food is going to be rationing out. You ain't going to be able to go to the grocery store. You ain't going to be able to buy nothing, because they ain't going to have nothing. It's going to be like 1929. From 1929 to 2229 is 100 years. Because 29, the banks failed. The stock market's in danger right now. Bitcoin's in danger right now. PSP and 401K is in danger. The banks are in danger. Everything is in danger. Why? Because man's doing it on his own. The only ones that won't be in danger is those that have been to Calvary's cross and let the blood of Jesus Christ save your soul, your little soul, your little pitiful soul, my little pitiful soul. He can save it tonight. If you want to be saved, you don't have to die and go to hell over nothing, because the world don't have nothing to offer you to bring redemption to you. The only one can bring redemption is Jesus Christ. So you got 1, 2, 3 horses that's getting ready to ride. And he opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, behold, a pale horse, and he that sat on him was death, and hell followed him, and power was given him over what, a fourth part of the earth, to kill with war, to kill with hunger, and to kill with death, diseases, pestilence, corona, HIV, syphilis, every man-made demonic demon spirit diseases that the devil can think of, and with the beasts of the earth, animals will be eating people.
It will be a hell on earth. And nobody will be laughing then. Nobody won't be going to no parties. Nobody won't be down at the whorehouse. Nobody won't be down there at the lesbian place. The transgender and all this here crap that's going on. They ain't going to be doing that. They're going to be hollering and screaming and gnawing their teeth with the pain that's going to come upon them and the wrath of the Almighty. Because since Christ took your wrath on Calvary's cross, you reject it. You reject salvation. So now you got to take God's wrath for yourself. And the wrath of God is no joke. It's real. It's authentic. People right now crying in hell. Can't produce no tears. They're crying. They're wishing they could have got saved. They're crying for somebody to come and help them. They're weeping and gnashing their teeth, and nobody can help them. You don't want to go there. When salvation is free, don't have to pay a dime. The only thing you got to do is repent and turn from your wickedness and your unbelief and confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Listen, a fourth part of the earth. The earth is composed up of three-fourths water and one-fourth land. That means every land, every continent will feel death. They will feel everything that this pale heart horse will bring. Death, hell, follow him. If you follow the Antichrist, you'll end up in a war, and you're going to end up starving, and you're going to end up dead. And that's what people are following. They are following the devil. They love the devil. They crave for the devil. They want the devil. They won't turn from the devil and his sin. They won't turn. They won't turn. And the only way they can turn, they want to turn, and God will help them to turn, because he don't want to see nobody perish. He don't want to see nobody go to hell. He don't want to see nobody gnashing the teeth for the rest of eternity and beyond eternity and eternity forever and ever. He don't want you to do that. He don't want you to go there. That's why he came down here, 42 generations, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, stayed on earth for 33.5 years. He had one mission to do. If he didn't heal nobody, if he didn't open the eyes of the blind, but one thing he had to do, he said, I got to go to Calvary. I got to go, because I got some souls to save. Why don't you come tonight? Won't you come to Jesus tonight? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 chapters of Revelation. I won't be able to finish all of it tonight, but I hope you got some understanding of the first 3 chapters, the chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. Here's chapter 6 at the 9th verse. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, didst thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on earth? And white robes was given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest for a little while, a little season, until their fellow servant also, their brother, should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. Now, this fifth seal was open. And when it was open, he saw somebody under the altar crying and weeping. And they asked the question, how long? How long is it going to be before you bring judgment up on the wicked? How long are you going to avenge our blood that they have shed of the prophets and the saints of God? How long will it be?
is a part of the tribulation period. Because during the tribulation period, the church will be gone. And since the church is gone, there won't be nobody here to preach the gospel of the kingdom until God, whoo, hallelujah, until God bring forth the long past due. In the seventh chapter of Revelation, he bring forth 144,000 Jewish men that will preach the gospel the first 3.5 years, the gospel of the kingdom. And out of preaching the gospel of the kingdom, there will be 12,000 from each tribe. And the 12,000 from each tribe will be named in the book of Revelation, the seventh chapter, of the fifth verse. Of the tribe of Judah, there will be sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. The tribe of Simeon, 12,000. The tribe of Levi, 12,000. The tribe of Issachar, 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. The tribe of Joseph, 12,000. The tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. 12 times 12 equals 144,000 Jewish men that will preach at the beginning of the tribulation period to 3.5 years in the middle of the tribulation. And out of this preaching that the world has never heard, there will be a great number of people who will accept Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God and receive the ministry and the evangelist work that the 144,000 Jews will preach. And guess what? They're not going to give you no lectures. They're not going to take up no offering. They're not going to say, I got a jet plane and I live in a big house and I got that. They ain't got nothing to do with it. They ain't going to touch it. There ain't going to be no hanky-panky. There ain't going to be no jive-time preaching. There ain't going to be no half-stepping. There ain't going to be no changing the doctrine. They're going to preach until the world hears it around the world. The Bible said the end cannot come. Listen to me, sir. The end cannot come until the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all the world. And the 144,000 will get a kickoff. And when they kick it off, there's going to be a lot of people that accept Jesus Christ. During the tribulation period, the church will have nothing to do with this. The church will be in heaven. We will be watching what the 144,000 did. And this is me personally. This is me personally. I'll probably feel ashamed how they preach Christ. These Jews going to turn the world upside down. They ain't going to preach nothing but Jesus Christ, him crucified, died and rose again, coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. That's what they're going to preach. And I say, Lord, let me preach all I can. Let me get mine out now. Because when I get to heaven, I ain't going to be able to do nothing but watch. And I'm going to say, I wish I would have did that. I wish I would have. So I'm doing all I can to convince you, convince your friends, convince your enemies. Receive Christ tonight. Romans 10:9 say, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D. Not half saved, not 99 and a half, not 99 and three quarters, not 99 and 15, 16. You got to be saved by what? The blood of Jesus Christ. And turn from your wicked ways. That's the only way you can be saved. And God will lead you to do whatever you have to do after that. And I guarantee you, if you receive Christ in your life, amen, you're going to want to be baptized. And if you know somebody that's a Christian, amen, and you get saved tonight, you get somebody that's a Christian, tell them, I want to be baptized. Well, I don't know where to go. Hey, you got a bathtub? Lord, have mercy. Look here. Can we go use the church pool? Can the preacher take me down to the – I don't have to have nobody there. Just take me down under the water. What am I doing? I'm identifying my soul, my spirit, with the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling the world I'm a new man now. I'm a new creature now. I'm not that old, wretched person I used to be. I'm filled with God's love. I'm filled with God's joy. I got a home. This is not my home. I'm an old pilgrim traveling until the end comes. That's the first 6 chapter of Revelation. And remember, the church is not here on earth in the 4th chapter. That's the rapture chapter. The 5th chapter is the judgment chapter. That's to open the 7 seals. The 6th chapter is when the horses start riding and they're getting ready to ride. The Antichrist is coming. War is coming in Russia, and famine is coming, and after that, disease. Why don't you come on in? Why don't you accept Jesus Christ? It's not hard. You don't have to strain at it. It's a gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's all it takes. You don't have to go through a whole lot of ritual. Jesus Christ gave his life for you, that you can live forever with him. And I want to live with the Lord. Don't you want to live with Jesus Christ, or you want to live with the devil? You want to live with all his pleasures and stuff, all his wickedness, all his crazy things he's doing to your mind? Let your mind be renewed through Jesus Christ, and he'll give you power to overcome anything that get in your way. Because when he come back, he coming back after a church without a spot or a wrinkle. So when you read Revelation and get to the 4th chapter, that's the chapter that you want to be in. Because you'll be gone to glory. Why don't you come to Jesus now? The only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth. Say, Lord, I am a sinner. I am a low-down, dirty, rotten sinner. Lord, I'm a hypocrite. I've been playing with you. I've been trying to live a Christian life, and I just seem like I can't do it. I don't know if you still love me like you say you do, but I know you do, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry for trying to fool you. I can't fool you. You know my heart, and I'm here right now. I'm repenting of my sins. I am sorry. I'm broken up. I just heard the word of God. I just heard what Jesus done for me. And he done that for me. I want him to give all that he got that I need to acquire the salvation through his blood. Lord, I am a sinner. I'm sorry. I believe with my heart, and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Brother Bazard coming to you, Watchman on the Wall. I got about 1 minute. So glad to have you. I'll be back on Saturday evening at 7 o'clock to 7 o'clock to 7:30. And Sunday, I'll be on at 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. Watchman on the Wall. Jesus Christ is coming back. Be ready. If I don't see you down here or don't meet you down here, I'll meet you in glory. To the glory of God. I thank God for listening.